Our gospel reading today is in Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, that would be to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord. What a great story. On the surface of it, it's very simple and easy to understand. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. Done and done. But the story goes much deeper than that. It is a subversive story. It is even a revolutionary story. And it's exactly the kind of story that got Jesus killed. Jesus frames the story for us in a way that we can all relate to. It starts out with a ruler abusing power. And we saw that in our earlier reading from Exodus, all through the book of Exodus. You guys know that that Pharaoh abused his power. That was what the story was about, right? And not only that, we instinctively know that the motivation, the root under that action of Pharaoh and of really virtually any ruler who abuses power, the root is fear. Fear of losing territory, fear of losing control, fear of losing wealth. It's always some kind of fear that they are acting out of. And so Jesus frames up this story in a way we can all relate to. You've got a ruler, and this ruler is seemingly capriciously calling in all his debts without warning. And the first guy he gets to is a guy who owes him 10,000 talents. Now, if you're like me, when you're reading along and you come to talents or denarii or whatever, it just like changes to dollars miraculously right there in the text, right? So we're reading along and we're thinking $10,000. And, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's not earth-shattering, right? It's not going to ruin the guy's life. No. One talent is worth 6,000 days' wages. And even if you calculated that at minimum wage, you would come up with something along the lines of $6 billion. Billion with a B. Now, I'm reading this story and I'm thinking, what kind of slave is it that this ruler would think he's worth loaning $6 billion to in the first place? How did this happen? So I'm thinking, if I were translating this passage from Greek to English, I would be very tempted when I got to that word slave or servant to mark that out and put hedge fund manager, right? That's got to be what this guy was. And he's got this $6 billion invested somewhere, and the king calls him in and says, pay me right now. And the hedge fund manager says, I can't do that. It's invested. Now, at this point, everybody knows what's going to happen, right? You read the script, and the king says, off with his head. And that's indeed what happens in Jesus' story. But then the hedge fund manager begs again and says, king, really, if you just give me a little time, I can go out, I can liquidate my investment, and I can pay you back. And at this point, everybody in the room is expecting the king to say, no, off with his head, again. But Jesus takes the script that we all know and that we're all expecting, he tears it up in little pieces and throws it over his shoulder. And Jesus says, that's not what would happen if God were king. That's not what would happen if the kingdom, if this kingdom that this ruler is over was run the way God would run a kingdom. He said, you know what would happen? God would say, or the godly ruler would say, yes, absolutely, you can have all the time you want to pay me back. But Jesus even took it a step further than that. And in his story, the ruler said, and you know what? Never mind. If you collect the $4 billion, you keep it. It's my gift from me to you. Now, at that point, Jesus could have ended the story. We would have said, oh, how sweet, isn't God good? And we'd all go home and watch the Cowboys on TV, right? We'd be done. But Jesus does not end the story there. And this is the part where it gets subversive. Because Jesus digs down a little deeper. And he does not just look at the motivation of that ruler. He looks at the motivation of the servant. He looks at that hedge fund manager. And he looks to see that that hedge fund manager has been seduced by the fear in the ruler. Anybody who's lived long enough to have gray hair knows that fear engenders fear. That fear calls fear to itself. That fear whips up more fear. And so the fear in that ruler was answered by the fear that lived in the heart of that hedge fund manager. And so that hedge fund manager goes right out and finds somebody who owes him less than $6,000. We're going to call that somebody a poor starving seminarian. And that poor starving seminarian says, I can't pay you back. I'm still in school. You got to wait till I get out. I get a congregation. I might be able to pay you back. Maybe not. But the hedge fund manager says, no, off with his head. At that point, we are challenged. Because we look at this and we think, that would never happen. If I were given $6 billion, I would never go out and immediately beat up on somebody who owed me $6,000. That just doesn't even make sense. And I'm here to tell you, it happens every single day. And here's how it happens. That hedge fund manager is out on his yacht, and he is celebrating the $6 billion, and he's got all his friends over, and they're just rejoicing, and they're happy. And meanwhile, back at the office, the system that manages all those student loans that the $6 billion is invested in is spitting out past due notices, foreclosure notices, bad credit reports, without any regard to the human suffering underneath. We do that all the time. And Jesus is saying we are responsible for the systems we build. We are responsible for the human suffering that they cause. We are responsible for our own fear, that answers the fear of people who abuse us. And so the challenge today is to take a look at the situations we're in. At work, do we see power being abused? And if we do, we need to look at the roots. Is there a fear under that that needs to be addressed? And beyond that, we need to look at our response. Are we also afraid to respond to that situation? Are we afraid of losing our job? Are we afraid of losing prestige? Maybe we won't get promoted. There'll be a black mark against us. Are we responding in fear? And the challenge is for us to let go of that fear and trust that God is going to provide for us, and that we can, should, must, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, respond out of love and not out of fear. And we need to look at our family situations. Do we have situations in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, where power is being abused? It can be as subtle as not forgiving each other. Because if we forgive someone in our family who has hurt us, are we afraid that we will lose control over them? Are we afraid that we will no longer be able to look down on them from a higher moral ground? And what about in a marriage? What if there is abuse happening? What if it's abuse between a parent and a child, or between siblings? This happens. There are, statistically speaking, one out of every four women has been abused. And there's more than four women in this room. And I want you to look, if you are the person being abused, are you bound by fear? And I want you to hear me loud and clear. I am not saying you are responsible for your abuse. There is never anything you could have done ever to make you deserve abuse. But the natural response to abuse is what? Fear. And so if you find yourself in that situation, pry your fingers off of the fear. And you will find there are other options. When you walk away from the fear, you will find help. You will find support. You will find escape if that's necessary. Love opens a lot of doors that fear closes. And lastly, what about our government? The Kaisers took us to a lovely dinner last night, and I met your representative Gomart there. And it made me think, what about those systems that we participate in, that we set up, right? What would change in the world if nothing the United States ever did was based out of fear? What if every single action we took was motivated by love? And that is why this is a dangerous message. You can see that Jesus took an axe to the roots of the power structure at every level of our lives and of our government. And what his challenge is do we really mean it when we pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to those words. That's saying that we really do want love to govern all of our actions and our systems here on earth. Do we really want that? At the end of the parable today, there was a part that seemed awfully harsh where that servant got thrown out. Remember that? And the way that happens is because Jesus looks at us and says, there is no place for fear to dwell in the kingdom of God. And when fear is cast out of the kingdom of God, if you're holding on to it like that hedge fund manager was, you will have to go with it. And so in closing today, my prayer is that we do the work now in our workplaces, in our families, and in our government to peel our fingers off of the fear, so that when perfect love casts out fear, we are found hand in hand with love, waving fear goodbye. Amen.